Hey, Micah, if you found some wet cement, what would you put in it?
Well, I know better than to put my face in it. That just is going to end up leaving a big hole.
Yeah, that was really unfortunate. I was really disappointed in the face hole.
They're going to immediately fill it.
Yeah, it's like basically a pothole with like a nose.
I think that I'd put the side of my head in there. So it's just like an ear print, a little ear print. You know, everybody's ear is unique. As unique as their fingerprint.
Is it? You would want an ear full of cement? That would be your choice?
Oh, that's true. Oh, man. See, I don't want to do my hand. That's what everybody does. I don't want to do I'll do my knees. There we go. I'll do my knees.
No, it's not. You don't have to. You can write something in it.
Oh, well, if I can write something in it, then I'm just going to put my initials and be done with it.
Oh, that's what you're going for? Okay.
Okay, Tiff. Show me what you got then. What do you got for me?
I don't know. I was hoping your answer would inspire me.
Whoa, let me flip the script.
Whoa.
Flip it and reverse it. Duh, what am I thinking? I'm not putting my hands, I'm not putting my knees, I'm not drawing anything. I'm putting Henry and Mizzy's paws into the cement. Duh, Micah.
Oh, there you go, dog paws.
Yeah, that's entirely on brand for me. So yeah, Henry and Mizzy, their little paws that go in, and it looks so cute. Oh.
So now that we have that established,
is it time?
Let's talk about this episode. Did I stutter?
This is season 4, episode 12. It was published on or released on May 1st of 2008. And this is a Stanley versus Michael episode of epic proportions. Bum, bum, bum.
It's Michael versus Stanley, and it is the clash of the titans. In one corner, you have Michael, and he is mad. And then in the other corner, you have Stanley, and he's mad. So that's about it.
Clash of one titan versus Michael Scott, who I can't classify as a titan.
This episode for me it's a lot about bullying.
Yeah.
And I see a lot of bullying going on, especially with Andy and Dwight as well. There's some bullying going on. There's a lot of bullying of Pam in her glasses. It's just a big office bullying episode. Michael bullies Toby, as he always does. And we have Stanley bullying Michael, and then Michael back bullying Stanley. So like there are a lot of these clashing moments going on throughout this episode. And it all starts out in a meeting, and it was an energized meeting. It was a meeting that was meant to energize and invigorate everyone with ideas. Oh, an addition of bullying was Ryan comes in and bullies Jim. So there is so much bullying going on. But it all starts in the meeting.
Stanley, Eartha Stanley.
Not me.
Yes, you. Come on, Stanley. Put your little game down and join the group.
No.
Stanley, we're having a little
brainstorm. Leave me alone, damn it.
We're having a brainstorm session.
Did I stutter?
It is Stanley getting upset with Michael for interrupting him. And I gotta say, Michael was not in the wrong for asking Stanley to put away his crossword puzzle and participate in a meeting that he was running as the boss. Even if it's a stupid meeting, it's still his.
He's the boss.
So Stanley was definitely out of line.
Yes, I absolutely agree. Yeah, while I find this this little interaction hilarious, and in the show it's great, I would be beside myself if this happened in an actual situation. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, Michael Scott is your boss, and this is the person who the company has decided is in charge of the office, and therefore you have to show a certain amount of respect to this person. And there's give and take, too, because we see how, you know, Michael will gladly take some blowback and some anger and things like that. But when you in the middle of a meeting and in front of, and I think the big deal is that it's in front of everyone else, that very blatant, I mean, because Toby puts it out there how it needs to be kind of put out there, which is that this is insubordination in a public place. And instead of Michael doing anything, he says, I'm going to go get some water. And the way he says water there is hilarious to me.
Good. This is good. I'm going to grab a glass of water.
But he doesn't, you know, do anything about it. And that's not a good look, Michael. That's not a good look.
What? I really think that you need to address what happened with Stanley this morning.
What are you blabbering about? Nothing happened.
Well, you know, Stanley was openly insubordinate.
That, in the conference room?
Yeah.
We were joshing around, the two of us, and he said, did I stutter? And I said, what, dog? I was joking, Toby, all right?
Yeah, and Toby confronts him as the HR rep, and Michael totally does the deflective thing. He backs down. It is very much like a bullying victim. He doesn't want to really confront it or get into it. He just kind of wants to imagine it disappearing. And I really like the analogy that Toby gives about his daughter not wanting to go to school when there's a mean girl. That's totally how Michael is acting. And it's a little bit heartbreaking. I don't like seeing Michael defeated like this. I don't think that this was meant to be a, oh yeah, we all feel good for Stanley for, you know, speaking up and putting down Michael. We are on the side of Michael here. You know, we have sympathy for him. We feel that he's hurt, and we feel bad, because even though Michael is a lot of times a total fool and a disaster, he does have good intentions. And especially here, he wasn't in the wrong.
No. At the end of the day, he wasn't in the wrong.
So I like how he goes to Daryl to ask advice.
Have you ever been in a gang?
What?
It's an advice question, and if you don't want to talk about it, I completely understand. It's,
No.
I know it's very, very personal.
No,
so...
I have.
I knew it. Okay. Who are we talking about here? Crips, Bloods?
Both.
God.
Yeah, them and the Latin Kings. The Warriors.
Okay.
Newsies.
Okay.
It's so perfect, because Daryl understands now, and just like the audience understands now, how to deal with Michael's ignorance sometimes. There is just, you just have to laugh at it yourself and make your own little jokes with how Michael thinks about things. And I think that that is the little delight that the audience gets now, is that the characters aren't just cringing when it comes to Michael. You have that initial moment of being upset about how Michael reacts to stuff. And then you're like, oh, okay, I can just let this go and make it fun for myself.
So I like that, you know, Michael is trying to find whatever solution he can, I think, without, you know, letting himself be embarrassed by having to come back to the situation almost. And it was a mixture of being feeling awkward, but also feeling a little bit, I kind of recognized in Michael some of those feelings that he was having as he was trying to navigate the situation. Because there have been times in the past where, you know, you have where I've had an argument with someone, or I have maybe like let a situation, instead of handling it immediately, you know, I walk away or something. And then having to come back, first of all, you lose all your power if you do just choose to walk away at first. And then having to come back and have that conversation and figure out how to navigate from there. Or if it's a situation of sort of, this thing is dead and buried in the past, and now you're coming back because you feel like you have not handled it, or you have not sort of gotten the closure that you want. And so I feel for Michael in that sense, where he's kind of taking in advice from everybody and just seeing, sort of picking and pulling and piecing together his plan of attack.
Yeah, he is kind of like crowdsourcing advice here throughout the office and trying to figure out exactly what he should do, which isn't a super professional way to go about it. It being that he's the boss, he shouldn't be asking other people. But if you were having a problem and you have a whole bunch of friends, don't you go around asking them also, like, well, hey, what would you do in this situation? Let me give you the scenario. So with that, he is again treating the office like a whole group of friends and trying to help him through a tricky situation. I love that Daryl tells him to tickle it out. Like, that was his advice, the fluffy fingers.
So what do you do to get him to make it right?
Well, see, in the gang world, we use something called fluffy fingers.
What is that?
That's where somebody really gets in your face. You know, you just start tickling them.
Really?
Yeah. And he starts tickling you. You know, pretty soon you laughing and hugging. Before you know it, you've forgotten the whole thing. Y'all can just go to church together and get an ice cream cone.
He takes it away from, like, the aggressive idea of a gang and brings it down to tickling. And Michael is just like, oh, wow, you wouldn't expect that that would be it. And, you know, Daryl's like, yep, that's how it goes.
that's it.
He even, you know, so Michael decides after kind of crowdsourcing all of this to tell the entire office that he plans on fake firing Stanley, which we've totally seen him do in the past.
Yes.
He fake fired Pam in the very beginning. And does he fake fire someone again in the future?
He fake fires Aaron.
Yep. So in the future, he'll fake fire Aaron. So he like goes around. He has not learned that fake firing doesn't work. So this is his second attempt at fake firing. And this kind of goes an interesting direction in that Michael does get a little bit of an upper hand in making Stanley feel how he felt a little bit,
yeah.
You know, so he does kind of turn the tables, and that was his goal. It was order to see how this is. I'm going to put you into a situation where you're going to be under my control for a minute, and I'm going to feel like I have all the power, which succeeded. But of course, we get this patented Stanley rant that goes on when he thinks he is fired. And then an even more epic rant when he finds out that he isn't actually fired.
You're firing me over three words. Yes. Have you lost your mind? Do you think I'm gonna let you do this to me? I've watched you screw up this office for 10 years, and I'm filing a lawsuit, and I'm gonna tell them about every stupid thing you've ever done up in this office.
All right, okay. You know what? Now you know how I feel. This was a fake firing. Lesson learned. Good work, everybody. Very nice.
So I'm not fired.
That's it. And do you have anything to say to me?
Oh, yes, I do. You are out of your damn little pea-sized mind. What is wrong with you? Do you have any sense at all?
Okay.
Do you have any idea how to run an office?
Yes.
Every day you do something stupider than you did the day before.
That's,
and I think there's no possible way he can top that.
Okay.
But what do? You find a way, damn it, to top it. You are a professional idiot.
Hey, stop it!
Wow. And he does. See, again, it goes back now. I think that in the beginning, that was inappropriate of Stanley, and Michael didn't deserve that. This time around, Michael totally deserves this. He deserves to be slapped down, essentially, for what I feel is not a very good move. And it's frustrating to me when someone has come to me and asks me for advice. And they ask it, you know, in sincerity, and I give earnest thought through advice. And then every time they choose to do something other than the advice that you give them. This time, Michael is going around to different people. Well, he didn't ask Toby, but Toby did have advice for him unsolicited. But he did ask other people for their advice. And instead of taking their advice, he just does his own thing at the end of the day. And this is, you know, this because this is a classic Michael Scott move. So we know this comes from his idea. And he thinks, oh, this is what I need to do to put Stanley in his place. So he doesn't listen to people after they do finally give him advice. And that's so frustrating to me. Ugh.
But we get from Stanley when he has his rant, he goes way too far. And Michael he starts to lose it. Because if you look at Steve Carell's eyes, the acting in this scene is just really, really great because his eyes are watery and they're getting like red. And you could tell that Stanley, all the things that he's saying are very much emotionally affecting Michael. And you see that in these close-up shots of Steve Carell's face. And I just think that that is so wonderfully done. And then he has another one of those moments where we see him being a actual authority figure, and he dismisses everyone and gets everyone out of the room.
Okay, everybody out.
Who?
Yeah, everybody except Stanley.
And he confronts Stanley, and he breaks down a little bit when he confronts Stanley, and it's good that he dismissed everyone. But all of this tension, and with Michael avoiding Stanley all day, and Stanley having all of this pent-up animosity towards Michael, it all gets kind of like aired out in this big explosion. And then they're able to, like, come down and actually talk to each other.
Michael, I've known you a very long time. And the more I've gotten to know you, the less I've come to respect you.
All right, you don't respect me. I accept that. But listen to me. You can't talk to me that way in this office. You just can't. I am your boss. Can't allow it.
Fair enough.
And I think that this is a really great moment of them recognizing something in each other and being able to move forward. And I think that that's kind of the beauty of this show. It's that it's a comedy show. And on the surface, it's just a whole bunch of goofy stuff and funny little bits, which we will get into the funny bits that are in this episode a little bit later. But right now, focusing on this moment, you get real character development. And here we're seeing a big moment for Stanley and Michael and their relationship and how resistant Stanley is to Michael's ridiculous management style. And they kind of come together here and Stanley says, I don't respect you. Michael internalizes that, thinks about it and says, that's fine. Again, it's one of those moments in the series that you get that realness, the way the camera's capturing it kind of from the outside, because everyone kind of left, right? And they're kind of like shooting through the window because they also were technically dismissed, I guess. And so it's giving all of this sense of this is a private conversation, but it's necessary to the story. And it's a big thing. It's a big thing. And I like how we bring it back around with the comedy of it, where even though this was a very serious moment, we see Michael, of course, like Michael does, attaching to an idea that something worked and trying to use it again. It's like a kid telling a joke three times because one person laughed at it and they're like, ooh, this is funny. Let me do it again. And then it's like, now it's less funny. And then it's like, okay, now it's really not funny.
Oh my God, yes. Oh, that's exactly what it's
like. So he does it again with Phyllis where he's like, everybody out. Like, I love that they put that at the end to show that Michael hasn't changed that much.
It's the dumbest thing I ever heard.
Damn it, Phyllis. All right, everybody out except Phyllis.
I want to go back and point out a few of the little subplots that are happening around the episode, just as kind of like a little touchstone of the people who've rewatched this show about 1,000 times, kind of remember that these little things are happening. So we have Dwight buying Andy's Xterra. X-Earth, and convincing him to sell it to him for a low price through some bullying tactics.
Let's do this thing. 3, 2, 1.
Can I
5, 4, 3, 2. Think, now, now,
it.
Now, say it. It. Do it, it now. Do it now.
Thinking.
Do it. Shake my hand. You will sell me this car. Shake my hand.
Yeah. All right.
And then flipping it.
Seller beware.
We see this happening because Dwight is still really bitter about Andy and Angela's relationship.
It's understandable that that is still going on because we know that Dwight cares a whole lot about Angela and wants to be with Angela. And he's seen, I think, that interacting with Angela is not going to help with the situation. And try, you know, he's not going to win Angela. So instead of winning Angela over, he decides to get out his frustrations by going after Andy. And that's you know, for his character, that's a pretty kind of predictable thing. I find it funny to continue, folks, if you don't know, Angela Kinsey, the character who plays Angela Martin, in real life during these episodes, she is pregnant, and it's fun watching them try to hide her pregnancy in these different episodes. And watching this one, I was reminded of that. And so it was kind of delightful, like, oh yeah. So she's sitting down through this whole scene and the table is always in front of her, or there's someone in front of her, or a big bag in front of her. It's kind of funny to see how they go about hiding that.
So Dwight rides the coattails of his own success with Andy's car, in that he then tries to convince Michael to give him power over the office when Michael's struggling to figure out what to do about Stanley. And there is a chart revealed at this time
with way too much information on it.
And we have a link to this chart. They put it up on the website after this episode aired, and it is just fantastic. It's very, very detailed. There is a lot going on, and I would like to read and point out a few of the things that we have going on this Dwight's organizational chart.
Let's do it.
Yep. We have Ryan Howard's title is Vice President, Northeast Regional and Director of New Media. Jim Halper is Assistant Regional Manager. Dwight Schrute is the original Assistant Regional Manager, which I think is really funny, and positioned slightly above Jim. Angela Martin, Senior Accountant, and her box is pink with a female symbol in it.
Oh, my God.
Accountant Tom Peets has been crossed off because he killed himself in the episode performance review. We have Accountant Kevin Malone, which has a four-leaf clover next to it, which is really funny. Accountant Oscar Martinez has two male symbols next to his name. Toby Flenderson has a...
Oh, my God.
I know. There's so many little details.
As a Star of David?
As a Star of David with a question mark, because Dwight believes Toby to be Jewish, even though we find out later, or we are going to find out, or we found out, I can't remember, that Toby attended the Catholic missionary school, right? Seminary school? That's it. Not missionary, it's different, that Toby attended seminary school. And the quality control department consists of, quote, Creed Branton.
Unquote. I love that.
So the Creed Branton's name is in quotations because we're not quite sure that that is his actual name. Customer service department has Kelly with another pink female symbol. Supplier relations has Meredith, and then underneath reporting to Meredith is Devin, with Devin's name crossed off because he was fired in Halloween. Reception, we have Pam Beasley, another pink female symbol, and it goes on. Andy Bernard, his box contains a silhouette of a person wearing a mortarboard, which referring to Andy's habit of reminding everyone he went to Cornell. And we have Phyllis Vance and then Stanley Hudson. Stanley has a little black power fist next to his name. In addition, so does Daryl and Lonnie, who works in the warehouse. And so we have all of these crazy little details all over this. And I just think it's absolutely delightful that the audience now should just go and check that out. We'll have a link to it in our show notes. So that's one of those like big, cool visuals that it looks like someone in the props department had a lot of fun with, and they put tons of detail in exactly how Dwight would have done it.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
So a couple other little tiny details. We have Ryan coming in and reprimanding Jim with his open shirt.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's gross, too. But I'm bothered by the way that he does that, where he basically does his best to catch Jim off guard. I think he's threatened by Jim, and he uses this every opportunity he can to feel superior to Jim and sort of, I don't know, work his little bit of weaselly control that he has over the guy. And it just grosses me out, and I don't like it.
It's very, very weaselly. It is. And we get like this, he's in the office for like 2 seconds. There's basically one scene with Ryan. The other thing that's going on, I think the last little subsequent thing is Pam left her contact solution at home when she was at a friend's house.
Oh my God.
And so she had to wear her glasses, and all day she gets harassed by everyone in the office. Of course, Michael comes in and says a really upsetting thing about how she doesn't look hot anymore because she's wearing glasses. Kevin just starts being incredibly inappropriate with her. It just keeps on going. There's a little aside with Creed. Everyone has a comment about Pam's glasses, and it eventually drives her to take them off and not be able to see. And it's one of those comedy bits that I don't know how well that would fly today.
Mm-hmm.
I think it, unless you saw it as like a real commentary on how the way people used to be, but it is super inappropriate for what would happen today. And it's a little painful to watch now with the ideas that we have of today's world versus when this show aired, and how, oh, this is just what happens to women in offices and we can laugh at it. Ha ha ha. Isn't it ridiculous? And we're highlighting how ridiculous it is. And it still is funny. But I was a little bit more sensitive to it than I remember on previous rewatches, probably because we're talking about it. But did that just really stood out to me? Did you feel that way?
I got to tell you, I was kind of always bothered by it, mostly because of Kev, the way that he's, I was prepared for Michael to be the way that he is, but the way that Kevin does the stuff that he does, I was always kind of bothered by it. So it still got me. And I was just going to note that the one thing that like upsets me about this is the part where they're trying to get out of the room when Michael tells them all to get out of the room. And poor Pam, because she took off her glasses, she can't see. And that really bugs me. I'm like, see, she should not have to have that situation happen in the first place. She should be able to wear glasses and not be pestered. Ugh.
So on that happy note, that brings us kind of to the end of the episode. Michael has a little montage of trying to do a couple comedy bits at the end about respect and fails miserably. But, you know, that's typical Michael fashion. Oh, one thing I do want to add, a little bit of trivia information, I guess, or backstory. Andy's Nissan Xterra was actually placed for sale on eBay after the show aired, and it belonged to the key hairstylist for the show. So it's pretty funny that that happened. It was also filled with autographed memorabilia by the actors, and the car went to a couple in Oklahoma. So there you go.
I love that. I need to buy a car from the office so I can get the memorabilia.
Micah, this week, why don't you tell me about the Dundee?
All right. So for this week's Dundee, I've been holding out for a Stanley episode because Tiff, I know you have wanted to hand out this particular Dundee that involves something that Stanley very much cares about.
This week's Dundee, which I'm calling the Pretzel Day Award, goes to Andrew Ray for the Binging with Babbage episode about Michael's extreme pretzel from the Pretzel Day episode. And I've been kind of waiting to give this one out for a time that it felt appropriate, but it is just such a wonderful, delightful little office tribute to watch him make this insane pretzel. And we will put the link to the YouTube channel in our show notes so that you can all watch it if you haven't seen it already. It's just amazing. And it is an award that is well deserved. So get on up here and accept your Dundee, Andrew Ray, for your Pretzel Yay! Day Award extravaganza.
I need to try that pretzel, except I don't because it will kill me.
Yeah, the amount of ingredients that just show up in the beginning of the clip on YouTube is insane.
We'll have to have if we ever do an in-person thing, we'll have to do a pretzel bar or something like that.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Don't worry, folks, because I am gluten-free, we will also make sure that there is a gluten-free pretzel option if you are also gluten-free.
Thank you again for joining us over here at Somehow I Manage, and be sure to go follow us at tall_beats on Twitter, and we will be back talking about the next episode, Job Fair.
Find out why I hate this episode on the next episode of Somehow I Manage.